ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room, the fastest 3 hours on the internet. Start now. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, and you know, I just bring you the headlines. I'm going to tell you everything we have coming up. I was talking to my producer, Scott, before the show, and I kind of see it, and I'm right there with a lot of people on kind of the Epstein fatigue, because I don't like redundancy. I don't like being stuck on a hamster wheel. I don't like this whole Groundhog's Day situation. But the truth is, it still continues to be the number one story. And so I can't even get away from it. And I'm trying to make sense of it today. And there's a bunch of other news. I mean, I got a bunch of just headline stuff of developments coming out of D.C. Got a pretty big stack of geopolitical stuff, mostly out of the Middle East, but some other stories as well. And then just a whole stack of just other assorted miscellaneous headlines that have public interest and kind of tie into other things that are going on. And we'll cover it all, but it's just like everywhere you look to get news, there's a front page Epstein story. And there's always a new ripple and a new turn. And so today it's, oh, the House is blocking the files from getting released. And now Trump's former personal lawyer, who's now the deputy attorney general, he's going to go meet with Maxwell before she apparently testifies. And then, I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. And no matter what they do, it just continues to be a bad look for President Trump and this White House. It's just they can't get it right. So we will be covering it. But there is a bunch of other news that we'll be getting to. And I was thinking, why won't this thing go away? And is it the lack of action from the White House? And I'm thinking, well, this story is really old. But it's like now they're trying to, it's like, so I got this old steaming pile of garbage here that we want to get cleared off. And we're like, hey, we're sick of this garbage. And then so now the White House is saying, well, hey, but how about this other old garbage? Hey, how about, you know, what about Obama? What about this garbage? And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, that's even older garbage. You didn't do anything about that garbage. Nobody ever took that garbage out. So are we going to get it? And I think, can this administration really go after Obama? Aside from the whole political decorum of, we don't want to go after our political opposition, or we don't want to do this to a former president, which Trump expressed in a soundbite today. So we'll play some clips of Trump. Why would I think that anything is going to be different now? Or can they even do it? If you take Obama down, or you take Clinton down, or you take any of the deep state down, how do they not bring you down with now? Because that's the whole thing. If Trump is untouchable, or if the members of his administration are all untouchable, then this would have all already been done. But if they're somehow, some way tied into all the other deep state corruption, you take Obama down, they all go down. So it's like now we're in that territory where it's like, hey, we really got to move on from this Epstein thing. We really got to give people what they want. So it's like, okay, why is there this frustration? And now it really is turning just like anti-Trump. I mean, it's bad. It's bad. And of my 350,000 or whatever followers I have on X, obviously very right-wing, very pro-Trump. And now I'll just put up a basic headline of Trump, and it's like all anti-Trump now. Like that is a shift. That is a month, 2 months. That is a total 180 shift. But it's like, okay, why can't we get this? Well, no new wars. Well, now there's more war. No more foreign aid. Well, we're continuing to send foreign aid. We're going to have Doge cuts. Shut down all the waste, fraud, and abuse. Never mind, you're not getting that. Well, at least we'll get the Epstein disclosure. Nope, not getting that either. And so it's like, this is the frustration. This is the pressure cooker.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday the 29th to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at thealexjonesstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, and get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, the medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only three or four of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect, but most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Fair analysis here, and I think this conversation is going to start coming up a little bit more often. And things are different. There's no doubt things are different from Trump's first month, Trump's first 100 days, or even just a month and a half ago, really. And I think if you want to choose kind of the demarcation line, I think it's the Iran strikes. And I think the polling reflects that it's the Iran strikes as well. That was the first thing that was kind of like, feels like we got a cheap shot from behind. And then plus the Musk fallout and then the big, beautiful bill, dirty salesman techniques and the spending. And we're not even going to get 5% of what we wanted out of Doge. And now the whole Epstein cover up, or the perception that it's a cover up. And so we're just in a totally different world now politically. With President Trump, and it happened so fast. So fast. I called it hyper speed 2 months ago when we saw this coming. And it really was hyper speed. But I'm saying, well, what's a fair analysis? How do you, because the bad tends to overwhelm the good in our minds, and that's a psychological thing, that's a survival mechanism thing. You know, the good is the good, but the bad, it's like, well, you got to address the bad. Like, you got a lot of things going on in your life. You got 9 things that are good, 1 thing that's bad. What are you going to address? You're going to address the bad thing. So it's kind of just overwhelming right now. And, I part of me looks at it, it was like an avalanche. It was like, okay, Musk was always going to get out, and people didn't vote for Musk. Though there was a very large Musk following that helped Trump get in, and everything he did to help Trump get in, that's very real. But people didn't vote for Musk, so the fallout, okay. And he was on that special contract that was expiring anyway, so okay, he's gone, and there's a little fallout. It's like, all right, you can get through that. And then there were the Iran strikes, and you know the right wing is kind of split right now on how to handle the Middle East, and there is an appetite for striking Iran. That's real. So you can kind of get through that too, and just declare victory and move on, and it won't just be a permanent stain. Maybe it comes out in the wash. And then the Doge thing, kind of the momentum already died from that. So people are just kind of over it. It's just like, all right, fine. The government still wastes our money, spends all our money. All right. So it's like, okay, done with Doge. And then the Epstein thing hits. And it's really not even about Epstein or the files as much as how the White House handled it so badly. It's like you come home and your kids are cleaning up the kitchen, the counter around the cookie jar, you know, crumbs everywhere, chocolate on their hands. You're like, hey, did you get into the cookies? Oh, what cookies? I didn't know about any cookies. And they're cleaning it all up. It's like, yeah, you look pretty guilty. This is putting the lid back on the cookie jar. You're cleaning the chocolate off your hands. It looks like you were into the cookies. It's like, oh no, I don't know about the cookies. Yeah, you were in the cookies. So it's just been like this avalanche now, and the polling has showed it well. Now, Trump has a bit of a boost in the last couple of days. This just kind of happens in political polling. It's like the stock market. It goes up and down. But, I mean, it was a big tank. It was like a big loss and then kind of just the steady gains and losses. But it's like, okay, what how do you balance this whole thing out? Well, I think that for the time being, the radical left is pretty much defeated right now. You still have some life on the East and West coasts. But I mean, the radical left is really just on life support politically. And it might be so dramatic that the Democrats in the midterms and then in 2028 will have to really reevaluate their own platform and abandon the radical left. Or they'll have to work with the radical left to come back to the center. So, okay, you know what? Politically, we've devastated the radical left. Now, we'd like to put the stake in them and declare them dead forever. But I don't think we're going to get quite there yet. You would have to keep your approval rating high and keep delivering for your base if you wanted to do that. But it's not even just about the base. It's giving the people what they want on both sides of the aisle. So the people don't want Iran strikes, generally speaking. They want Doge cuts. Didn't give them that. Both sides want the Epstein files. Now that's who knows. So it's like, okay, now the radical left, there's a pulse now. Now they have hope again. They have signs of life. They're opening their eyes. They're seeing the light. They're like, oh, there's room for us maybe. The border is totally shut down. That's a total victory. You've got issues with immigration. You've got issues with deportation. But it's hard to blame that on this administration. The illegal immigrant issue, 30 million, 40 million, however many are in here, that's been going on for years. So you can't really pin that on this administration. The border is shut down. And so that's a massive, and look, I don't really care about the whole war on drugs. I think it's dumb, but you're stopping the flow of deadly drugs. You're stopping the trafficking, the human trafficking, the child trafficking. And they've busted in the first 6 months, at least, I mean, I'm trying to go off the top of my head. I mean, at least six giant pedophile networks. We're talking hundreds of arrests in each operation in different states. So, I mean, they have crushed two industries, two evil industries. And I don't even compare the street drug industry to the sex trafficking, human trafficking industry. They're not even close. But, I mean, okay, two industries that plague our country, street drugs and human trafficking. I mean, those have been virtually annihilated. The economy, I think, is still up in the air. We don't know what we're going to get yet. I'd like to think that that's the best shot that we're going to get a good economy, but we really don't know. And so you're just kind of evaluating it all, and you're like, well, where is this really going? And people tend to, and I think it's fair, you take one issue, whatever the hot issue is, and you say, depending on how this goes, that will be a sign of where everything else is going. And one of those issues that I pointed out when they were doing the ICE protests, and they sent the criminal referrals to Pam Bondi's desk, and just like every time, it disappears. Nobody knows where it goes. Pam Bondi's actually still looking for her desk. She's not even sure where it is. She needs help finding it. But I said, however the Trump administration handles these ICE protests, specifically when they come out and address, we're going to find out who's funding it. We're going to find out who's organizing it. And then really all they've done, they've talked about it a lot, but all they've done is arrested one guy who was handing out some masks. And they've charged him, and oh, he was just acting independently, handing out these face masks. I don't believe that for a second. But see, I said, if they don't actually go after the organizers and the funders of this, then that's a sign of how effective this administration or ineffective this administration is really going to be. And if you notice, everything since then has been going the wrong direction. So did they have big investigations or big arrests or big charges for any of the organizers and the funders of this domestic terrorism, attacking ICE agents, attacking law enforcement? No. Oh, well, you need to be patient. There's things going on behind the scenes. I'm sick of hearing that. Is there anybody not sick of hearing that? We've been hearing that since the first administration. I'm not playing that game anymore. So, that was the first sign that it was like, okay, how serious are things really going to be in the Department of Justice? How serious are things really going to be over there at the FBI? But then you look at some of the other issues with Doge and Elon Musk and then Strike and Rand. It's like, okay, things seem to really be going like we swerved way hard right or way hard left. That's not a political thing. I mean, just we veered way off track. So look, I understand why Trump is now saying, hey, what about Obama? What about Biden? What about their crimes? Stop talking about me. Stop talking about Epstein. Remember that they're the criminals. Remember what they did to the country. See, the problem with that is you're in charge. So we can talk about Barack Obama's crimes for the first 4 years of your administration, and we did. We can talk about the Biden crime family for the 4 years of the Biden administration, and we did. So we can talk about it all day long. But now how many times has President Trump talked about Obama committing treason? This is at least the fifth time, maybe the sixth time. So yeah, I mean, eventually you play a trick on a dog, you know, you wave the ball and you pretend throw it. The dog chases the fake ball. You know, the dog chases that ball even though you didn't throw it. But eventually you fake the throw and put the ball behind your back and the dog stands there staring at you like, hey, uh-huh, I'm on to your tricks. And that's where it's at now. So it's like, okay, you want to talk about Obama committing treason? You want to talk about the Obama administration and all of its crimes? You want to talk about the Biden crime family? Okay, throw the ball. I'm not going to do this thing where you pump fake the ball and I run down the field looking for the ball, but you were never going to throw it anyway. So that's where we're at in this deal. And how else can you respond to it differently except to say, well, why is President Trump talking about this now? It's clearly to distract from the Epstein stuff. Clearly. Hey, Tulsi, go out and put a report out about the Obama administration. All of this stuff is old news. And he says, why are people still talking about the Epstein thing? The Obama thing's older. Obama Spygate? Operation Crossfire Hurricane, that's older than the Epstein arrest and fake suicide. Older. So, but we're supposed to talk about that. Where were the arrests in the first 4 years? So this is why people are souring fast. Because we're not doing the fake ball trick anymore. We're not doing it. You're not going to fake throw the ball for us to go play fetch. You're either going to throw the ball or you're not. So they're trying to pump fake us, but now we're not falling for it, and we're standing there staring at Trump like, uh-uh. And it's just, there's nothing else they can do. Now, you can sit here and pontificate, well, why won't they release the files? Is it because it'll bring everybody down? Is it because it's so sordid? Is it because Trump is in it? Is it because intelligence agencies are involved? Is it because they don't even have anything? But it doesn't make a difference because the result is still the same. Now, I've got all the other developments here with the headlines. But let's go to the Oval Office and President Trump addressing these things. So here he is first talking about how often does he follow or think about the Epstein story. So it's not going away. They keep asking it. I mean, even there in the White House, folks, I mean, that's bold. Trump says, stop talking about it. Every single day someone has asked him about it. So it happened again, clip 15.
If you look at that, those papers, they have them stone cold, and it was President. No, I have no concern. He's a very talented person. He's very smart. I didn't know that they were going to do it. I don't really follow that too much. It's sort of a witch hunt, just a continuation of the witch hunt. The witch hunt that you should be talking about is they caught President Obama absolutely cold, Tulsi Gabbard. What they did to this country in 2016, starting in 2016, but going up all the way going up to 2020 in the election, they tried to rig the election and they got caught. And there should be very severe consequences for that.
So he doesn't know about him. He doesn't think about him that much. He doesn't really care about him that much. Okay, so just release everything. Just tell Pam Bondi to release everything. Just do it. Or if it's all gone or they're not in this country anymore or whatever, just do it. Just come out and just say it. So then he's asked about what he was saying about Hillary Clinton on the first campaign trail and how he'd have her in prison. Does he regret letting Hillary Clinton off the hook? Clip 14.
You know, when we caught Hillary Clinton, I said, you know what? Let's not go too far here. It's the ex-wife of a president, and I thought it was sort of terrible. And I let her off the hook, and I'm very happy I did.
Let her off the hook. Happy he did. I mean, good Lord. Let me try to translate this. We knew Hillary Clinton broke the law. We knew her campaign broke the law, but we let him get away with it. Thanks. That's what we needed to hear. Thank you for kicking sand in our face. So in other words, the mystery Epstein Maxwell clients, we let them off the hook. Hillary Clinton, her campaign, all their crimes, we let them off the hook. You, the American that stepped foot on the Capitol grounds on January 6th, you went to prison and all the Americans that got censored and everything else. No, you paid the price. You paid the price. Oh, you protested at an abortion rally, an abortion clinic. You're going to prison. I mean, you, the American, you commit what shouldn't even be a crime. You're going to jail. You're going to spend huge amounts of money on legal defense. You're going to spend days in court, in and out, and then you're going to spend time in jail. But if you're Hillary Clinton, if you're Jeffrey Epstein and his clients, if you're the most powerful, well-connected, rich people in America, you get let off the hook, you get away with it. And he's proud of that. So now he addresses Obama in clip 18.
If you look at that, those papers, they have them stone cold, and it was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place. It was them, too. But the leader of the gang was President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one they... Look, he's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say, let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to obfuscate the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries. You've seen some pretty rough countries. This man has seen some pretty rough countries, but you've never seen anything like it. And we have all of the documents. And from what Tulsi told me, she's got thousands of additional documents coming. So President Obama, it was his concept, his idea, but he also got it from crooked Hillary Clinton. Crooked is a $3 bill.
Look, we agree with you, President Trump, and we have your back on this issue. But it appears to us you are deflecting. It appears to us you are distracting, which adds to the entire debacle of this whole Epstein cover-up that makes you and your administration look guilty Again, this is the public interpretation, folks. This is just the general public interpretation. And now you're going to tell us Hillary Clinton is a criminal. I let her get away with it. Barack Obama committed treason. Well, you already knew that. How does this make anything better? And it's kind of even reached this point where I don't know what happens if they do go after the Obama administration. And you actually see Brennan and Clapper, Obama maybe even. I mean, he said he committed treason. What's the punishment for treason? It's almost like even deep state arrests at this point can't bring Trump's reputation back. I mean, that's how bad this has been. And still, it has to happen. But it's like now he has to do it. And I see all the people on X. It's like the new Q people, or I don't know. And it's, I was told indictments are coming today. I was scolded. I was told Obama will be arrested today. I was told, get your popcorn ready. Obama in cuffs by the end of the week. Hey, good. I thought that was justice. Nobody's above the law. But now what happens? Now that Trump has just said, we let Hillary Clinton off the hook for crimes, and Barack Obama committed treason, and Tulsi Gabbard releases all the different criminal activities. So now what? Now what happens? How do you not arrest them now? How do you not perp walk them and put them in cuffs and bring them into a courtroom? How do you not do that now? And then what happens to all these people that are riding along with this and saying, oh, yes, it's all a distraction, or Trump's playing 5D chess, or Trump's tricking the Democrats into releasing the Epstein files. Trump, the deep state arrests are coming by the end of the night. Get ready. So the people that you still have riding with you, the people that you still have defending you, and doing whatever it is that they're told to do, what happens when they don't get what they expect now? Because now you've basically signaled to them, Q is real. We're getting the... I mean, this is what they believe. I mean, look, I'll admit it's pretty wild, which makes me think it's like some weird intelligence op. But it's like... It's weird, folks. They post this picture of Ivanka Trump with a truck and a candle. And they say, I guess she just posted it on her Instagram. And they say, this is the final show for Q. Look, it says candle to light. And she's with the candle. And look at the date on this post and the time on this post. And they all interweave. And now Trump says they're arresting Obama. It's here. Arrest by the end of the week. And I'm just sitting here like, you know, I've been hearing this from you people for 6 years. Okay? So you're still playing that game, and it's fine. But it's just like, so. But what do they do if Trump does not arrest Obama? He just said for the fifth time Obama committed treason. So what do you do if you don't arrest Obama now? So what? You want us to flip now and just put all the ultimate pressure on you to arrest Obama and forget about Epstein? Okay, fine. Arrest the deep state. That's what we elected you to do. Drain the swamp. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone who wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
So Barack Obama has released a statement through a spokesperson. Spokesperson for former President Barack Obama, Patrick Rodenbush, just sent this out. Barack Obama responds to Donald Trump's Russia treason threats. Out of respect for the office of the presidency, our office does not normally dignify the constant nonsense and misinformation flowing out of this White House with a response, but these claims are outrageous enough to merit one. These bizarre allegations are ridiculous and a weak attempt at distraction. Nothing in the document issued last week undercuts the widely accepted conclusion that Russia worked to influence the 2016 presidential election, but did not successfully manipulate any votes. These findings were affirmed in a 2020 report by the bipartisan Senate Intelligence Committee, led by then-Chairman Marco Rubio. Well, this is a distraction from Obama. Now, no, you illegally spied on Donald Trump because of what you knew was a fake intelligence report. So you fabricated an intelligence report to parallel construct a spy campaign on Donald Trump and many other Americans. So you can sit here and pretend it's about the Russia angle. That's not what this is about. So there really dodging the claims is what they're doing. So it's actually probably good then. Maybe Trump will get serious about this after the response here. But this is a non-response response. And then he goes on CNN, or I guess this is CNN reporting on it, rather, with their White House reporter. Guys, go ahead and roll this.
The office of the presidency. Our office does not normally dignify the constant nonsense and misinformation flowing out of this White House with a response, but these claims are outrageous enough to merit one. These bizarre allegations are ridiculous and a weak attempt at distraction. And the spokesman for President Obama goes on to say this: nothing in the document issued last week undercuts the widely accepted conclusion that Russia worked to influence the 2016 presidential election, but did not successfully manipulate any votes. These findings were affirmed in a 2020 report by the bipartisan Senate Intelligence Committee led by then Chairman Marco Rubio, who is, of course, now President Trump's Secretary of State. So really,
look, I think it's pretty clear what happened here. And maybe even before I go into that, you know, what I'm seeing is, you know, you're always going to have clickbaity stuff on the internet, and you're always going to have media personalities or, you know, influencers that are just trying to ride waves or create waves or get attention. And so, yeah, it kind of waters down news cycles, and it kind of corrupts even news cycles, and it makes it even harder to determine what's real and what's not. Like, a good example would be, somebody fabricated a resignation letter from Jerome Powell because he had a press conference this morning where he basically just said, I'm not going to do what Trump wants, but didn't resign. So somebody fabricates a resignation letter, and, you know, tons of top people posted it, including senators. And it's what's wilder about it is when you go look at this, it has clearly a fake federal letterhead on it, like clearly AI. I mean, it's like ridiculous. It's like they put out those like children's magazines. It's like, oh, spot the difference or find out what's wrong with this picture. It's like even a 3-year-old could be like, oh, that's a fake Federal Reserve letterhead. But hundreds of big names shared it. And it got sent to me, and I just read it, and I'm like, oh, well, this is interesting. And then I look at the letterhead, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's fake. But it's like, that's what goes on. So now, with this whole Epstein thing, and people are saying, well, oh, gee, you know, why didn't the Democrats do something about it for 4 years? So it's all this, well, why didn't you do this, or why didn't you do that, or why now? And I realize, even now, even people in government are basically doing this. So it's all like whatever. Let's just go with the trendiness. Like, oh yeah. Like, do you really think AOC cares about the Epstein list? Like, do you really think the Democrat Party cares about the Epstein list? Oh, now they care. No, because they see it's trending and they want to hop on the bandwagon. They want to be a part of the trend. They want to try to get on the right side of a trend. They want to try to ride a wave. Oh, and I mean, folks, this thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So what's the legacy going to be with this deal now? If they just decide it's over, we're covering it up, we're burying it, well, then that'll rest with Trump. That'll be part of Trump's legacy. Now, he might be able to overwhelm it with a great economy, but we're not there yet. You could maybe overwhelm it with deep state arrests. But you know what? Another angle to that is, and so this is, you know what? This is the problem. The reason why there's such a distaste and distrust now is because it feels like the deep state is still in control. And it's the complete polar opposite of what we expected. It's the complete polar opposite of what we voted for. And look, I can sit here and point to Republican conservative right-wing victories. Sure, we secured the border. We're stopping drugs from coming in. There's good stuff happening. I'm not denying that. But it's just like politics as usual. We didn't vote for politics as usual. Yeah, we did want to at least some semblance of a revenge tour, of a redemption tour. That's not to say we want to completely destroy the fabric of our civilization here, but it's like, hey, we got criminals running our government. They stole an election. They put innocent people in prison. I don't want to hear about how you're letting them off. I don't want to hear about the things you should have done in your first term that you're, you know, at least pretending like you're going to do in your second term. So that's what this is. That's the problem here. It feels like the deep state is still in control. So it's even beyond the deep state arrests of the Obama administration. Like, if Trump really wants to get back to the lion of Make America Great Again, now if Trump really wants to get back to the gold standard for U.S. presidents, you have to bring down the Obama administration, full expose arrests. You have to go after the Biden crime family, all the money laundering, everything, full expose, full arrests. And then this is going to be the kicker. And then this is going to be why, even if you do all that, you still won't get to the gold standard. You have to decouple from Netanyahu and Israel. You have to do these three things. And if you don't, you will never be that gold standard. You just won't. Because, honestly, you don't even have to do the Epstein stuff. You could not do it. People would actually forget about the Epstein stuff and let it die if you did deep state arrests, the Obama administration, the Biden crime family, and then finally decoupled from Israel and said, we're not going to be a part of this anymore. We're not going to be a part of the slaughter of tens of thousands of people in the Gaza Strip. We're not going to be a part of you starting wars in five different countries and toppling regimes. We're done. And then you could let the Epstein files die and go away and people would forget about it. But that's what now that's what he's going to have to do. And yeah, you get a good economy and deportations, everything else. But that's just the pendulum of politics in America. You have to do something permanent. You have to do something permanent. You have to completely change the culture and the politics in Washington, D.C. That's what we voted for. Oh, you're going to commit crimes? You're going to commit treason when you're in the White House? You're going to prison. If you're lucky. You understand? Oh, you're going to take billions of dollars in foreign aid, and then you're going to go out and you're going to start wars all in the region, and you're going to kill tens of thousands of people. We're done with you. You're done. You're cut off. We're done. So no, it feels like the deep state is still in control. Did we get the Doge cuts? A trillion? 2 trillion? No. Are we getting deep state arrests? No. Are we getting no new wars? No. Are we ending the war between Ukraine and Russia? No. Are we cutting off the funding to Ukraine? No. So it's like, yeah, I can sit here and look at the left-right paradigm and say, hey, we stopped the open border, and hey, we have good financial policy. It's like, okay, yeah, right versus left, the right's winning, sure, if you buy into that paradigm. But behind those two puppets on the left and the right hand is the same master, is the same uniparty. It's the same deep state. So, yeah, you want to drain the swamp? Well, you got to drain the swamp. But, oh, I'm supposed to sit here now. The Democrats are saying, don't let them off the hook. Don't let Trump off the hook. The Epstein files must be released. And it's like, yeah, okay, you guys didn't do anything for 4 years. Shut up. But okay, fine. I want the Epstein files released. So, okay, Democrats want to get on that side of history now? Fine, whatever. AOC, all the big Democrats now calling it out. Oh, Mike Johnson is shutting down the House so that they can't vote on the Epstein files. I mean, folks, do you see how bad this looks? Do you see how bad this looks? So not only are we being told to move on, then we're told there's nothing there. There's no there there. Then Congress is saying, you know what? This is a popular issue. This is a populist issue. Everybody is looking for these for the real Epstein story here. So now Congress is like, okay, let's get behind that then. Let's make our own moves to get this done. So they're set to get a bill to vote on the floor to do the full release. Mike Johnson slams the gavel and says, nope, not going to do it. So now they're delaying the testimony of Maxwell. They're delaying the bill of getting to the floor. And what's happening in this timeout session? Trump's former lawyer, Todd Blanche, is going to meet with Maxwell in the prison? You couldn't look more guilty. Top DOJ official plans to meet with Ghislaine Maxwell about Epstein case as House panel pursues subpoena. So he's got his former attorney, Pam Bondi. He's got his former attorney, Todd Blanche. I mean, you couldn't make this look more guilty. House Oversight Committee to subpoena Ghislaine Maxwell for testimony. House moves up summer break to avoid Epstein vote. So then you had this with comedian Tim Dillon, who had Alex on his show. And I guess him and J.D. Vance are friends. So he kind of breaks some news here with Alex, and he says, well, listen to what the vice president told me at dinner in clip 16.
I just want to add, when Bondi said we have 10,000 hours of video, she said we have 10,000 hours of video. I had dinner last week with the vice president. He told me that that was commercial pornography. They do not have videos of any powerful person in a compromising position. That's the party line that they're going with. If that's the case, why would Pam Bondi call it evident?
Well, aside from whatever Pam Bondi has said, I kind of take a different response to that. And I don't think, I mean, somebody's lying. Bondi's lying. Vance is lying. Somebody's lying. So I'm supposed to believe that Epstein has tens of thousands of hours of commercial porn. Meaning what? He's just going online to the big porn sites and what, downloading every single video he finds? I mean, 10,000 hours? What is he doing? He's spending all of his time? He's just browsing the internet, just downloading everything? He's got cameras all over his New York mansion. He's got cameras all over his Florida mansion. He's got cameras all over his island. But no videos of that. No evidence there, no videos. Which I wouldn't doubt that. If those videos existed, they went to the intelligence agencies that he was working with. So yeah, he wouldn't have him on his person for obvious reasons. But now you're saying, oh, it's just consumer level pornography? I mean, come on. So I don't think Vance is a liar. I think he's probably repeating what he was told, which is Bondi is now changing her story from, hey, we have the videos, we have the evidence, and then it's such a disaster. So they say, okay, we got to change course here. Let's just say it was commercial and there's nothing there. Now, think about it like this, too. Why is Todd Blanche going to talk to Maxwell in prison? Well, they need to learn about who the clients were. They need to figure out about what they were up to. Tell me why that didn't happen already. Tell me why, when Maxwell was in court, where were the investigations then? Who were the co-conspirators from the original sweetheart deal in Florida in 2007? What do you mean you need to go talk to her about an investigation? What do you mean you need to go do an investigation as she's sitting in her prison garb? It's just like they just keep blowing it worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And at this point, Maxwell's probably feeling, well, she might be scared for her life. But aside from that, Maxwell's probably feeling pretty good. She's probably feeling like, huh. Well, they spiked the investigation when they gave me and Jeffrey these sweetheart deals. So now if they want to come back and look for more information, I'm going to get a pardon out of it. So do you really think, if they're really trying to re-examine this and get answers for the American people, do you really think Maxwell is just going to volunteer all of it? No. She's going to say, cut me a deal, give me a pardon, and release me, and then I'll talk. Well, oh boy, how do you think those optics are going to look? So now you're pardoning Maxwell to do an investigation that should have already been done. Then, what are we supposed to expect? Maxwell is going to come out and rat on all the people she was trafficking the minors to and all the people that were going to Epstein Island to do God knows what? And then what? Now, who's covering it up? Now, who's claiming there's no there there? Now, who's calling it a witch hunt? And they got this billboard up in New York City. A Trump Epstein billboard is going up now. I just can't believe it. Part of you has to feel bad for the guy because he's almost 80. There's just so much corruption in D.C. and so many people entangled in it. And now himself as well. And it's just like, you should have just came out and just said, look, I was hanging out with Epstein in the 80s and 90s. We were both into beautiful women. I didn't know what else he was into. When I found out, I cooperated with the feds and I turned him in and we got it shut down. But yeah, we were friends. We were friends. We hung out. We hung out with models. We hung out with beautiful women. Yeah, I slept with 20-year-olds. I was the hottest thing in New York City in the 80s and 90s. I was a billionaire playboy. Me and Epstein liked beautiful women. We hung out at the hot spots. I don't think anybody would hold that against Trump. And it's like, I'm not even trying to defend any of it, but it's like you go back to the 70s and 80s, you can find these old local media reports when they're passing DUI laws and passing seatbelt regulations and car seat stuff, and you'll find people like, yeah, I put my kid in the back seat and seatbelt him in. What do I need a child care car for? Child seat. Or you'll see people, they're talking about, you know, you can't have a beer in your car. It's like, I get off work. I work 10-hour days. I sit in my car. I drink a cold beer on my way home. Like, you know, who's the government to tell me I can't drink a cold beer? I'm driving home from work. So it's like culture changes. So it's like, I'm not excusing Donald Trump, but yeah. You don't think all these models, the world was a different place. You didn't have models on Instagram, you know, connecting to the famous and the wealthy on Instagram. They go to these model shows and they go to these beauty pageants and they meet rich people. That's like the old Instagram. So it's just like the world was a different place. So I'm not making excuses for Trump. It's just like, Donald, just come out and just say it. We're not going to be upset that you were sleeping with 20-year-old models. We don't care. We want you to drain the swamp. But this whole charade of, oh, it's a witch hunt. And, oh, I don't know anything about anybody. Oh, it's like, come on, man, you're just blowing everything up. So it's just like now it's not going to go anywhere. Steve Bannon is now saying he's going to finally release his documentary. Or he's teasing it. Mark Epstein's brother is saying he needs to release it. There's 15 hours of unseen footage of Jeffrey Epstein talking to Steve Bannon, giving insight into that what Epstein was really like. But what's the angle here? I don't think Trump was doing anything illegal with minors like maybe other people were with Epstein. So the next series of questions is only going to go one direction, and that's, what about Epstein's financial operation? How many people are complicit in Epstein's financial operations? Where he's a financier and helping you hide money and avoid taxes, getting to such a powerful level that he only works for billionaires when there was barely 100 billionaires on the planet. And his connections to the rich and the powerful and presidents and prime ministers. The stuff's not going away. And they can throw a bunch of red meat and distractions, but it's not going away. So it's kind of reached this point where if you don't deliver the pedo list from Epstein Island and arrest the pedos, and you don't stop letting Israel dictate this foreign policy and even domestic policy. Tammy Bruce comes out today, says we're leaving UNESCO because of their anti-Semitism. Which, hey, look, good, get out of UNESCO. That's why it's like, let's just say everything that we don't like is anti-Semitic and maybe we can get something done about it. It's like, well, actually all of Epstein's clients were anti-Semitic, so can we get an investigation on this now? It's like, oh, they were anti-Semites? Yeah. It's like, you know, Epstein was working with some pedophiles. Whatever. Epstein was working with anti-Semites. Anti-Semites? Oh, we got to get on that immediately. He was working with anti-Semites? Oh, the pedophile angle didn't bother you? No, that's a witch hunt. But anti-Semites, we're on it. We're on the case. We're going to dedicate a team now. And they're still paying out. His estate is still paying people out, and he's dead, supposedly. So that's what it is now. Deliver the Epstein pedophiles on a platter and tell Israel to deal with their own problems without us, or that's now going to be your legacy. And you know what? We have nothing to do with it. He listens to Susie Wiles. He listens to all these other people. He pushed Musk out. So that's where we're at.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former K-6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting. So you ever get him to take it on air? All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feel really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now, but guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so, that's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're gonna find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're gonna be on Owen, so please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're gonna tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But, yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get.
I think it's about the wing blue.
It's the
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.